This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama, and then our feature, Health and Healing. We shall close with a segment on the whole year 2025. I am John Baptist Tumusime. The Holy See released on Wednesday Pope Francis's catechesis for the midweek general audience, which he was not able to deliver in person because he is recovering from pneumonia. He was discharged from Gemelli Catholic Hospital in Rome on Sunday, 5 weeks after being admitted. In the catechesis, the Holy Father reminds the faithful that it is never too late to entrust everything to God and start anew in our journey on earth. We have a report.
The Pope focused on the biblical episode of the Samaritan woman recounted in the Gospel of St. John. The Samaritan woman meets Jesus at a well, where he asks her for water and reveals that he is the Messiah. Through their conversation, he exposes her past and offers her living water, symbolizing eternal life. Transformed by this encounter, she leaves her water jar, runs to her village, and brings others to Jesus. After contemplating the encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus last week, when in search of Jesus, and the Samaritan woman this week, the Pope observed that we are reflecting on moments where Jesus shows that he is waiting right there at the crossroads in our life. He recognized how this could have been somewhat shocking for the Samaritan woman, who likely felt ashamed of her life. Perhaps she felt judged, condemned, and not understood, said the Pope, recalling that she had had 5 husbands and now was with a 6th man who was not her husband. Jesus helps her to reread her history, which is complicated and painful, the Pope said, recalling how she discovers that the Messiah loves her. Jesus, the Pope said, waits for us and lets himself be found precisely when we think there is no hope left for us. At this point, he noted, the past is no longer a burden. She is reconciled, and it is like this for us too. To go and proclaim the gospel, the Holy Father said, we first need to set down the burden of our history at the feet of the Lord, to consign to him the weight of our past. Dear brothers and dear sisters, the Holy Father underscored, let us not lose hope. Even if our history appears burdensome, complicated, perhaps even ruined to us, he noted, we always have the possibility of consigning it to God and setting out anew on our journey. Finally, Pope Francis concluded by reassuring, God is merciful and awaits us always. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
The Catholic Church in Burkina Faso is remembering this month Father Joel Yugubare of the Diocese of Fadanguma, who was kidnapped 6 years ago from the Diocese of Ukaya, where he was serving as a Fide Donum priest. The Bishop of Ukaya, the Right Reverend Theophile Nare, told reporters this week that even though the church does not know where Father Joel is or what has happened to him since his abduction, it has not forgotten him, and every day it continues to pray for him. The priest was kidnapped when he went to celebrate Holy Mass in a sub-parish in the morning of 17th March 2019. Burkinabe police believe that he was kidnapped by Islamic militants. Security forces launched a search operation following news of his abduction, but without any tangible results. Attacks by Islamic militants against Christians and moderate Muslims are frequent in some parts of Burkina Faso. Caritas Angola concluded this year's National Solidarity Week on Sunday with the celebration of Holy Mass at the Sacred Heart of Jesus Major Seminary in Luanda, presided over by the Auxiliary Bishop of Luanda, the Right Reverend Antonio Bengi. In his homily, Bishop Bengi explained that Caritas is an expression of the living charity the followers of Christ are called to embody. He reminded members of Caritas Angola of the importance of working together in unity, stressing that they are all taking part in the noble mission of evangelization. Bishop Bengi called upon the faithful to play an active role in the church's mission of charity, underlining that every baptized person is called to service to all members of the human family, especially to those in need. The president of Caritas Africa, Monsignor Chibambo Pierre Ntakobagira, has told the faithful in Malawi that one of the objectives of Caritas is to positively change the lives of people. Monsignor Ntakobagira was speaking a few days ago in Mangochi, where he was visiting the projects being implemented by the Catholic Development Commission in Malawi. The projects are partly funded by Caritas Africa. He said one of the major challenges to development today in Malawi is climate change, whose effects, which include long droughts and floods, have been experienced in different parts of the country. He appealed to the faithful to implement measures that limit the effects of climate change and to diversify their crops and put emphasis on those crops that are resistant to drought and floods. Local and international humanitarian agencies in Chad have reported an influx into the country of hundreds of thousands of refugees from neighboring Sudan, where the national army is fighting rebels of the Rapid Support Forces. We have a report.
The refugees are being housed in 18 refugee camps and other shelters, but this has added to pressures on already neglected communities in eastern Chad, according to the UN Development Programme, UNDP. Resident representative in Chad, Francis James, said that a new centre for women should open in Adre next month, and its purpose is to strengthen ties between host and refugee communities.
You have refugees coming over and over the border, and you need social protection, but also you need to give them hope. A women's centre on the border that will give opportunities for women to have a safe haven, have counselling, have opportunity for entrepreneurial, to build a business, to weave, to sew, to make soap, and to gain income.
Daniel Johnson, UN News.
You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
A Kenyan police officer has gone missing in Haiti after an attack by suspected gang members. He was part of the 800-strong force sent to Haiti in June last year to help restore order to the country, where gangs have seized control of almost the entire capital, Port-au-Prince, as well as many rural areas. The multinational security support mission to Haiti said the attack happened on Tuesday during a patrol operation in the town of Pont-Sondé. In a statement, the Kenyan National Police Service said it has been notified about the missing officer in Haiti, adding further that the officers deployed there remained committed to fulfilling their mandate, despite calls by some Kenyans for the police to return home. The Sudanese army has been accused of killing hundreds in an airstrike on a market in the country's western Darfur region. The Sudanese War Monitor, the Emergence Lawyers Group, which documents abuses by both sides, said in a statement that the bombing of Tura Market on Monday was a horrific massacre that had also left hundreds injured. While the Rapid Support Forces has deployed drones in Darfur, the army has the warplanes and regularly strikes Rapid Support Forces positions across the region. A military spokesperson denied targeting civilians, saying it only attacked legitimate hostile targets. Both the Sudanese Armed Forces and the Rapid Support Forces have repeatedly been accused of shelling civilian areas. The civil war in Sudan between the army and the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces erupted in April 2023. Prince Harry has resigned from a charity he set up in honor of his late mother, Diana, the Princess of Wales. The Duke of Sussex co-founded Saint Tebale in 2006 in order to help people in Southern Africa living with HIV and AIDS. He stepped down with his co-founder Prince Seiso of Lesotho and the Board of Trustees because its relationship with chairwoman Dr. Sophie Chandauka broke down beyond repair after she was asked to resign and took legal action. Mali is forecasting a slight recovery in industrial gold output in 2025 on the assumption that mining giant Barrick Gold opens new tab, will resume operations after a month-long standoff with the government. Production is expected to reach 54.7 metric tons of gold after plunging 23% to 51.7 tons in 2024. Barrick suspended operations at its Lulo-Gunkoto operation in January after Mali's military-led government blocked shipments from the complex and then seized 3 tons of gold. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now, our feature, Health and Healing. The international community marked World Tuberculosis Day on Monday, March 24th, with the theme, Yes, We Can End TB, Commit, Invest, Deliver. The theme highlights an urgent need for global commitment, increased funding, and immediate action to end the disease as a public health threat. Tuberculosis, also known as TB, is a highly infectious disease present in all parts of the world. The purpose of marking World Tuberculosis Day is to raise and build public awareness about it and to promote efforts to eliminate the disease. It is estimated that tuberculosis kills about 1.5 million people around the world every year. Most of the victims are from poor countries. The disease is caused by a bacterium and spreads by air through coughing, sneezing, and spitting. It is believed that around 25% of the people in the world have been infected with the disease, and many don't know that they are carrying the bacterium that causes it. Tuberculosis has been around for a long time. Many times it shows no symptoms or signs. Dr. Aaron Masoweledi is a medical specialist and the current Minister for Health in South Africa. This is how he describes tuberculosis.
The problem is TB is that it doesn't announce itself when it comes. It comes very silently, but kills very effectively. And people die after a long time, in isolated areas. They die in separate areas very silently. Nobody can see it.
There are many types of tuberculosis named from the parts of the body it affects. They are pulmonary tuberculosis, which affects the lungs, extrapulmonary tuberculosis, which occurs in places other than the lungs, for example, in the lymph nodes, the tissue that lines the walls of the chest, the brain, the kidneys, the bones, and the joints. Miliary tuberculosis, which occurs when the TB bacteria spread through the bloodstream and affect multiple organs throughout the body. Tuberculosis meningitis, which occurs when the TB bacteria affect the membranes that cover the central nervous system, known in medical language as meninges. And drug-resistant tuberculosis, which is caused by TB bacteria that are resistant to the most effective tuberculosis medicines. Anyone can be infected with tuberculosis, but the most risky groups are children, people with compromised immunity, for example, those infected with HIV/AIDS, and those who suffer from diabetes, as well as people who are malnourished. Tuberculosis is curable. Dr. Teresa Kasaeva is the director of the Global Tuberculosis Program at the World Health Organization. She explains.
TB is in fact a curable disease, but it requires completion of treatment. It would take several months, from 4 to 6 months of treatment with a combination of antibiotics. And even the most challenging, difficult forms of drug resistance, TB tuberculosis, could be successfully treated. We have much better options available now. We have shorter fully oral injections-free and more effective treatment now available. Unfortunately, millions of people with tuberculosis still don't have access to the life-saving treatment.
Tuberculosis is preventable. Dr. Kasaeva explains how you can protect yourself from the disease.
Protecting ourselves and our loved ones starts with awareness, early detection, and treatment. Consult your physician if you see symptoms like prolonged coughing, fever, weight loss, especially if you've been in contact with someone diagnosed with tuberculosis recently. This is especially important if you are belonging to one of so-called risk groups.
The most effective preventive measure of tuberculosis is vaccination. There are several vaccines that are being tested today. Dr. Aaron Masoweledi explains more.
We had a vaccine developed in 1921, the BCG, Bacilli Calmette Guerin. And for decades, scientists had believed that this vaccine protects against all forms of TB. But we only discovered after 8 years of its existence that it actually only helped to suppress TB meningitis, not other forms of TB. We're still struggling with the vaccine. At the moment, there are many candidate vaccines. Out of the many candidate vaccines, there is one called M72, which is promising. It is now in phase 3 clinical trial being conducted in 7 countries around the world. South Africa, Zambia, Malawi, Kenya, Mozambique, Indonesia, and Vietnam. All of them were chosen because they are high burden countries. They are carrying a lot of TB.
The medical field has made many gains against tuberculosis. However, the World Health Organization warned last week that these gains are threatened by cuts in funding by key donors around the world, especially by the United States of America. Dr. Kasaeva again.
The fight against tuberculosis, the world's top infectious killer, is at a dangerous tipping point, with the progress now at risk. Drastic and abrupt cuts in global health funding threaten to reverse those gains. Rising drug resistance, especially across Europe, and the ongoing conflicts across the Middle East, Africa, and Eastern Europe are further exacerbating the situation for the most vulnerable. Early reports to WHO reveal severe disruptions in the TB response across several of the highest TB burden countries due to heavy reliance on U.S. funding, with the WHO African region bearing the greatest impact, followed by the WHO Southeast Asian and Western Pacific regions. 27 countries are facing crippling breakdowns in their TB response, with devastating consequences. Human resource shortages are undermining service delivery. Diagnostic services are severely disrupted, delaying detection and treatment. Data and surveillance systems are collapsing, compromising disease tracking and management. The 2025 funding cuts threaten to worsen an already underfunded global TB response.
Dr. Teresa Kasaeva, the director of the Global Tuberculosis Program at the World Health Organization. Earlier, we heard Dr. Aaron Masoweledi, South Africa's Minister for Health. And that was Health and Healing for this week.
Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program of news, views, and reflections on the Jubilee Year 2025.
Hello, it's It's another wonderful day on our journey of hope towards Christ as I welcome you to today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope. And as we continue to rejoice and thank God for the successful discharge of our Holy Father, Pope Francis, from the hospital, I am Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe, and I'm here once again to journey with you on this event of the Great Jubilee Year of 2025. Today, we will shift our focus once more to other countries of the world where the Jubilee is being celebrated by the Catholic Christians there according to their own local arrangement. One of such is the workshop done in celebration of the Jubilee Year with the theme Pilgrims Journeying in Hope by the Leadership Conference of the Consecrated Life South Africa, LCCLSA 2025, which was covered by one of our collaborators, Sheila Pierce. This event, which had many religious men and women from the different dioceses in South Africa in attendance, was a spirit-filled experience for all, and some of them have something to share. May we then listen to them as they introduce themselves.
On the sacred journey.
My name is Sister Charity Zulu. I'm from the Congregation of the Benedictine Sisters of Tswana in the Diocese of Peshawar. We're just a local congregation based only in the diocese.
I'm Sister Edith Reichert from the Benedictine Sisters of St. Alban in Elokwatini, Witbank Diocese.
I'm Sister Marianne Wynn, Salesian Sisters of Mary Hope of Christians. I belong to Johannesburg Diocese.
I'm Sister Virginia Fungisai Mungofa from the Congregation of the Sisters of Nazareth, based in Cape Town, and I'm also the second regional councillor. It's my first time, and I came to see how LCCLSA work.
My name is Father Chris Sharp, a liaison of Don Bosco, working in the Archdiocese of Cape Town.
When asked how they would describe the workshop, these are their responses.
This, for me, is very important because that's where I gain strength to move forward. Since the leadership has got its own distresses and whatnot. So when I'm here, I gain moral support and my leadership skills are also nourished.
I'm always enriched by these AGMs because it's a great support for leaders among each other to give us hope and share our challenges and sometimes get a new idea how to solve issues.
I must say it has been a wonderful experience, my first time, and I feel that I'm part of a great community of leaders. And it's a real opportunity of coming together based on the Jubilee Year because we are pilgrims of hope and we are people that need to bring hope to people that have lost their faith.
Each and every one of these religious had one thing or the other to take back to their community or the congregation.
Of course, in our religious life, we have the bright, also we have some darkness. But with the theme of the hope, we always have hope because Jesus is our hope.
I think from our sharings, I've learned a lot that I actually belong to something greater. It's not only my congregation, but the church as a whole. I have had an opportunity of meeting religious from other congregations, and there is hope. And I learned that it's not a one-man's shop, and we are all together, and through prayer, everything will be well.
To listen to each other, I think I will encourage my sisters to come along to this consum meeting as a kind of pilgrimage in our diocese. We have decided that we want to do something on this theme together in our AGM, and also there will be a diocesan pilgrimage in September to Maria Trost, where we...
Some of them expressed their sentiments on the theme, Pilgrims Journeying in Hope, in relation to their congregations or religious institutes.
It's very important because actually it includes collaboration amongst ourselves, starting with my congregation. And of course, we need to collaborate as religious around the Southern African sphere. We need to journey together towards the same goal of meeting God one day. And of course, for evangelization.
We are working with the young people, especially the poor young people. So we bring hope to them, encourage them to live hope. Although in their family have difficult situation, and also sometimes they share their lives with us. We encourage them and also find a way to bring hope, especially united with the church. Every day we pray for peace.
It is indeed encouraging and realistic hearing people share their experiences. We thank our collaborator, Sheila Pirsch, who made it possible that we share in these experiences. Thank you so much for continually being active in participating on this program. And as we continue to pray for a quick and complete recovery of our Holy Father, Pope Francis, I hope to meet you all at the same time, same station next week. I am your companion on the journey, Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe. Jubilee Prayer.
Father in heaven, may the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when, with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at this same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Culture and Society. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.